Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the show. And on tap today, we're going to talk a lot of high school sports. Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Sport and Wrestling Team is on tap to join us coming up here in about 10 to 15 minutes. We're also going to talk college football. It's rivalry week. A lot of people get up for this week of college football. Some big games, including Utah wrapping up the regular season against Colorado. Doesn't have a lot of meaning for the Utes, but it does for Colorado. They're trying to get to the Pac-12 championship. Also, Washington and Washington State. We'll talk about that. A lot of great football games. Auburn, Alabama, just a lot of them. So we'll get into some college football talk in just a bit. Plus, the new college football rankings have been released, and there was no change 1-4. That was the big story last night. Alabama, number one still. Ohio State still 2. Michigan still 3. Clemson still 4. Number 5 is Washington, and they now have a clear path to get into the playoffs because, well, they get a win. They win out. One of the four teams above them guaranteed to lose. Washington, a big winner last night in the latest rankings. And I think that the biggest loser and the team that has the biggest gripe, Penn State. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. Here's a story that we have to mention, though, during the intro of the show today. And we talk a lot of high school sports, obviously, here on Drive Time Sports. That's what we do. This one is regarding a high school football game in Illinois. So an Illinois high school team that lost a playoff game because officials made an incorrect call actually took a case to a judge, and today that judge rejected its bid to overturn the outcome. They won't be playing in the state championship game. Judge Kathleen Kennedy rejected an unusual lawsuit from Chicago suburban Fenwick High School. They were seeking to reverse the Plainfield North High School victory on Saturday. Here's what happened. The winner, this was the semifinals of a Class A state title, and I don't know the classifications off the top of my head in Chicago. I don't know what level this was at. But they're playing in a high school semifinal championship football game going up against East St. Louis. Fenwick, the high school that filed the lawsuit, was winning the game 10-7. They had the ball on fourth down on their own 15-yard line with 4 seconds left. The Fenwick quarterback heaved the ball downfield and used up the time left on the clock. So the game's over. Officials get together, and they called intentional grounding. That's a penalty that gave Plainfield North the football back in one more play. They used it to kick a field goal, and they tied the game. They sent it to overtime, and they got the win 18-17. The Illinois High School Association, which governs the prep sports in the state, said the call was a mistake. It was not the right call. The association apologized to Fenwick, but said there was no way for the school to appeal the outcome through the organization, so they filed a lawsuit. In the judge's ruling today, she cited an association bylaw that says officials' decisions are final. The association urged the school to file the lawsuit that if they did in fact win, it could lead to a flood of lawsuits over incorrect decisions by officials. So I understand Fenwick being upset. I understand why they would go to the governing body and say, look, you have to overturn this. But let's be real, human error is part of the game. And if you're listening now and saying, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say it didn't happen to you. Look, I've taken several losses. Human error is part of the game. That's what makes sports so great, and it's also one of my biggest gripes with instant replay because it's not utilized properly as trying to fix human error with certain calls that you can't review. Obviously, in high school, they don't have review. They don't have video review. But at the end of the day, human error is part of the game. These kids learned a valuable lesson. Life's not fair. Let's just be realistic. Let's call it like it is. I don't have any problem with a high school trying to file the lawsuit and get this overturned, because they were obviously wronged, and the association recognizes that they were wronged. But when you play sports, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, outside of bowling, human error is part of the game. Talk about tennis, wrestling, basketball, football, baseball. Human error is part of the game. And this particular high school knows that to be true. And just think about the ramifications of this. If they were to win and they overturned the outcome of a game, this is a similar situation with Oklahoma State in Central Michigan, where the officials allowed Central Michigan one more play. They should not have. They threw a Hail Mary and they beat Oklahoma State. And there was the topic of, should the pollsters look past Oklahoma State's loss? No, I'm not looking past that loss, because at the end of the day, there's one simple solution for Oklahoma State and for Fenwick High School. Don't put yourself in that position to begin with, right? Look, this happens in boxing all the time. I love boxing. The biggest problem people have with boxing is sometimes somebody sees something a different way and it doesn't work in your favor. Even if you believe, I mean, we can take the Andre Ward and the Kovalev fight this past Saturday. Some people truly believe that Kovalev was just robbed blind. I don't believe he was. But any time Kovalev, who's a power puncher, he left it in the hands of the judges, something like that could happen. I don't have any sympathy for Oklahoma State. They lost to Central Michigan at home. And the idea that the pollsters should look past that loss because the officials missed a call is insane to me, because at the end of the day, you were in a one-possession game with Central Michigan at home. Think about that. And as far as high school football goes, look, if I'm the coach, yes, I understand that the wrong call was made here for this Illinois high school. I get that. But the first thing that popped into my mind is, why did the coach call this play to run out the clock? There's a million other things that you could have done to run out the clock. You still put the ball in the air, only up 3 points. Bad things can happen. I don't know. It's a slippery slope. I say kudos to the judge for throwing this out. If they would have ruled in favor, you would never leave a sporting event thinking that you saw the necessary and right outcome. Think about that. Houston Texans were on the bad end of several calls this past Monday against the Raiders. DeAndre Hopkins did not step out of bounds on that long touchdown pass right out of the gate. There were a couple of horrible spots that were reviewed. It didn't work in Bill O'Brien's favor. When you leave that game, the Raiders won, and you know the Raiders won. Yeah, it stinks. You had a couple of calls that didn't go your way. Yet at the same time, the most logical and simplistic explanation or advice you can give someone is to don't put yourself in that situation. Kudos to the judge for not overruling that. High school sports can really be lethal as it is. You start overturning games and changing the outcome of games, you're going to have a mess on your hands. Stinks for that high school. Human error is part of the game. It didn't work your way. We'll see you next season. And I love the athletic director for the school that it benefits saying that they weren't exactly thrilled with the outcome. Yes, you were. Come on. You won a football game that puts you in the state championship. You may have not been thrilled that the opposing team took this case to court and tried to get it overturned. You're thrilled that that judge ruled in your favor. Thrilled. And if you're the head coach of that football team, don't act like you're not happy that the referees made a mistake and gave you the ball. Because I guarantee you that coaches know the rules. At least I hope they do. He knew it was the wrong call. He knew they were getting away with something. You take whatever you can get. Remember the saying, it's better to be lucky than good? And this was one of those cases. Let's take a look at the national sports scene and what we have in store tonight in the NBA as far as schedules go. The Utah Jazz will return to the court tonight. They take on the Denver Nuggets at Vivint Smart Home Arena. David Locke, Ron Boone, they'll bring you the play-by-play call at 7 p.m. that game again tonight. 5 o'clock, all kinds of tip-offs. Memphis at Philly, San Antonio at Charlotte, Orlando plays host to Phoenix, Cleveland will welcome in Portland, Atlanta will travel to Indiana, and we get Brooklyn playing host to the Celtics, and Detroit welcoming in Miami. All of those games in the 5:30 hour. Toronto will take on Houston tonight at 6 p.m. The Clippers on the road to take on the Mavericks, the Red Hot Clippers. The Jazz again hosting the Nuggets. National televised game tonight between Minnesota and New Orleans. Anthony Davis is just playing flat out of his mind so far this season. And the Lakers are on the road to take on the Golden State Warriors. The nightcap in tonight's NBA action, we get Oklahoma City at Sacramento. Some news coming out of the NFL earlier today. Andrew Luck will not play in tomorrow's contest. He's been ruled out with a concussion, so he's going to sit for that contest against the Steelers. That's a Thursday night contest between the two teams with major playoff implications on the line for both squads. He didn't practice all week, suffered a concussion on a sack in the fourth quarter against Tennessee. He has to clear the NFL's concussion protocol before he is allowed to play. The next game after the Steelers game is a December 5th contest on the road against the Jets. Luck has played in the first 51 regular season games of his NFL career, but tomorrow will mark the 10th game he has missed since week 4 of last season. We're going to pause for just a moment. Again, Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Spartan wrestling team will join us when we return. Plus, we're going to talk some college football with Antoine Staley. It's all coming up here on Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big sports radio guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Coach's Corner, Drive Time Sports, KOL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Boscarini. Such a busy, busy time right now as far as the local sports front goes. Do not forget, you can check out CastleCountryRadio.com. You can get your complete results from last night as Emory and Carbon opened up the basketball season. We also had some wrestling, which is what we're going to talk about right now. The Emory Spartans opening up the wrestling season with a big victory over the Manti Templars at home, scoring several victories by pinfall. Those results are at Castle Country Radio. And joining us right now to talk a bit about last night and what the future may just have in store for this Emory Spartan wrestling squad, we have head coach Kurt Christiansen. Coach, it's great to get you back on for another season. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be back at it.
Coach, we'll start by talking about your team going into the 2016-2017 season. You and I were talking a bit off of the cuff. I mean, you have three gaping holes on this year's team, losing McCoy Christiansen, Ashton Diele, and also Nathan Urie. Those are three kids that definitely were leaders for your squad. Now that the season is off and rolling and it's underway, has it been noticeable missing these three kids?
Yeah, we definitely have a missing presence in the room. They love to win. Their technique was high and their energy was high. But, you know, we're really looking forward to our team captains step it up and fill the hole. Ty Meekum's a big part of that, and as well as Newt Ovison. We got Zach World, who's at every practice pushing the guys too. We've got returning senior Casey Jones there as well. So those will be our team captains this year. We're really excited about having them out and seeing what they can do with our team.
I'm sure for you as a coach, it's just different not having those kids around, right? I mean, that's probably the biggest thing.
Well, yeah, they've been at it since I started, and you know, it's kind of like you walk in the room and wait for them to show up, you know, and they never do. So it's a little different, but we've got a lot of new faces, and we're super excited about their energy and what they have to offer.
Now, as far as these new guys go, you guys started the season last night against Manti, handily picking up the dual win 53-21. I was talking to you off of the cuff about it, and you were really happy with the way your younger kids performed last night.
Yeah, you know what? They did good. We lost a few junior varsity matches right off the bat, and you could tell the kind of the lull in the room. The kids were a little subdued. The crowd was a little subdued, and we started off with a big win at the 285 class. Ty Meekum wrestled an exhibition match at 285 class and pinned his opponent and got the energy back in the room, and it just stayed that way all night. We handily, you know, walloped him. We got one loss at 106. You know, my son there, Corby, is a freshman. He came out with the freshman jitters and didn't even wrestle the first period. He almost got tech fouled in the first period. It was at 11-0, believing it. And he just turned on in the middle of the second period and started to wrestle and wrestled back to within 4 points. So it was 7-11 at the end. And, you know, I mean, the energy came back up in the room, and he learned that he can wrestle high school wrestling. He's going to do just fine. And it just rolled right on through, you know, Chase pinning it. Dax gets a pin at 13. Chase gets a pin at 20. McKay has a battle at 32 and ends up winning that one. We get a pin at 38, 45, 52. 60. I mean, the guys just rolled right on through them and wrestled their tails off. So we're super excited about how things are going.
You mentioned at the very beginning Ty Meekum and how he got an exhibition win. I mean, this guy may be the most versatile wrestler on your team. And just talking to you, there's legitimately three different weight classes you could use Ty at this year. And I know it's kind of undecided about where he's actually going to be, right?
Yeah, you know, he weighed in at Hydration at just over 220. He could be at 220 this week, but his weight plan lets him go clear down to 195. So, you know, by the end of December, he may be at 195 pounds for us. Yeah, he's just going to play it out and see if making the weight is feasible for him. That's kind of where he's aiming right now. He may jump up and wrestle 285 or 220 right now. He's just kind of going to fill out the competition and take the path of least resistance to a state title. And we're really looking forward to a state title from Ty. You know, he's been right on the cusp all 3 years. The last 2 years he's wrestled for us as a sophomore and a junior. You know, he's been a high state placer. And, you know, both of those years during the season, he's actually beat the state champion during the season one time or another. So, I mean, he's an amazing wrestler with a lot of talent and a lot of hard work. So, you know, being our senior captain this year, he's a big presence in the room, and we're excited to have him.
Have you noticed that maybe we can call it a chip, maybe the edge that Ty has to get that state championship this year?
Yeah, you know, he expects to. And, you know, just like we've seen with Ashton and McCoy in the past, and all of our state champions, when there's an expectation on yourself, you're going to push yourself that little bit extra. And when it push comes to shove, you'll win the match because you expect to win the match. And sometimes that's the only thing that separates the greats from the goods is an expectation to be the winner.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Sport and Wrestling Squad. So we talk about tying the expectations for him to be a state champ. Coach, who else do you see as being a legitimate player for a state crown this year?
Well, you know, a lot of these younger classmen come up and fight like they're doing in the wrestling room right now. It's hard to say this early in the season, but yeah, you know, I've got six or eight that are viable for a title. Off the top of my head, I've got four majors. Ty, we already talked about. I've got Chase Christiansen at 120 right now. He's coming down to 13. He's got a real good shot at 113 right now. As good as anybody out there. We've got Zach World returning at 126, and then Newt Ovison at 160. You know, but I'm not going to count Macarello, and Gus Dalton out at 32 and 38 either. Both of them are returning sophomores that, you know, as freshmen in those middleweight classes, they were state placers. And there's no reason in the world they can't come in and battle for a title right there at 32 and 38. And then, you know, I've got a bang-up freshman at 152. He had an elbow injury last year in the junior high school state finals in the semifinal match. He dislocated his elbow and was leading that match like 7-3 and, you know, dislocated his elbow. And that opponent there went on to take the state title. So by all rights, he's a, you know, defending state champion in the junior high deal, coming in as a freshman at 152, and he's a stud. So, I mean, I can keep going on and on. These guys are ready to wrestle, and I'm excited about it.
That's definitely a good thing, no doubt. Coach, it's such a marathon-type season, and I know you guys get a lot of matches in here pretty quickly. We can go over the schedule in just a bit. But for you as a coach, when do you notice the biggest jump of improvement in a wrestler? I mean, is there a specific time where you look at these guys and you say, okay, you know, you do have the makings of being a state champion, we do have the makings of competing for a region title, but we have to hit a certain threshold by this point? I mean, has that been noticeable to you in the past?
Yeah, you know what? Usually when we return from Christmas break and they get that little bit of time off, and we hit 2A duels. You know, during that 2A duel, you can kind of see who's prepared mentally and physically to go ahead and get after it. There'll be some major jump-ups in attitude, and there'll be some major fall-offs in attitude after that 2A duels. And that's kind of the breaking point of the season, and you'll see whether these kids want to step it up and expect to win, or if they're just going to, you know, battle it out and get in the grind and get as much as they can. And like I said before, I think that expectation is the difference.
So the season gets off and rolling last night. Now we got to pause for Thanksgiving break. Is that difficult?
Oh, man. I'm nervous about it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, we have a moratorium. We can't practice. And being a hard-nosed coach as I am, I like to get my hands on them and keep my hands on them, keep them in shape. You know, last night that was probably the biggest difference between us and Manti. We got some of those third-round tens. You know, and in two or three of those matches, we were actually down by points. And we get third-round pins because our guys are in shape. So you kind of worry about falling out of a little bit of shape when you're going on a four-day weekend, you know.
Going on a four-day weekend and celebrating a holiday that's geared around eating. And a lot of these guys are...
Yeah, that's a little tough for a ref to maintain weight, stay in shape, if he's not dedicated to the deal.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Coach, what does the schedule look like for you guys now that we got the Manti meet in the books?
You know, we only do have a busy schedule this year. Next week's a nail-biter. We've got North Sevier as a duel, and then we go up to Salem Hills for tournament. The next week we have a duel with Delta, and we're going to host a junior high school wrestling team tournament. We're going to do a dual team tournament on the 10th that our high school kids are involved in. So they'll have Saturday to do that. And then the next week we do two duels and a dual tournament. So December gets crazy busy for us. Our tournament on the 16th and 17th will be up to Duchesne. In between there, we wrestle Gunnison and Summit Academy. We'll leave day after moratorium on the 29th of December and go down to Paiute and do a duel down there. And coming off that duel, first weekend of the month there in January, we hit 2A duels. Then we've got a little bit of a break. We just have one duel the next week, and then we have a tournament. And we made it to the Delta duels this year. The Ironman duels are in Delta. We're excited about that. There'll be another tough tournament middle of January. And I scheduled some more time off this year to get healthy and really wrestle tough with just a couple of duels there at the end of January so that the kids can freshen up and we can review a lot of film and really hone our technique and get in some serious good shape for the state tournament.
Well, it's definitely going to be busy for you guys here over the next few weeks. Coach, I always appreciate you making time for us and giving the community an update on how the boys are doing. And I will talk again real soon. Thank you, and congratulations on last night's opening meet victory.
You bet. And I'm glad to be here, and I'm real excited about my boys.
Yeah, definitely, as you should, Coach. We've got to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football. We'll be joined by Antoine Staley, great friend of the show. He covers college football for the Palm Beach Post in Florida. He'll join us when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, it's Garrett Topp. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with
Jordan Busterini. Ooh, 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 ooh. I got a love
that keeps me bleeding. We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOA 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Last night, we had the college football playoff rankings released once again. Huge, because now we get down to it, final 2 weeks of the season if you count conference championship play. And so last night's rankings, definitely the biggest up to this point, the most meaning up to this point, no doubt. No changes in the top four. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, Clemson 4. I thought maybe Clemson had a chance to jump Michigan, but they stay put at 4. Washington 5, Wisconsin 6, Penn State 7. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about those rankings, we have Antoine Staley of the Palm Beach Post. He's joined us each week for college football this year. Antoine, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
I good to be with you again, Jordan.
No real surprise last night as far as the rankings go. You and I were talking during that last break off the cuff. The one thing that still bugs me, I don't like Penn State 7 and Wisconsin 6. I think those two need to flip. And yes, that's very important as far as the rankings go. A lot of people would say, well, does it really matter at this point? It does, because Penn State legitimately should have a chance to get into the top four.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, they still might get there, but I think that win over Penn State should be put up above, ranked higher than anything Wisconsin has done. Yeah, to be the LSU team that's very mediocre this year. I don't know how great that win is. And they played Ohio State, and they played Michigan tough, but and they beat Nebraska. Nebraska's a good quality team. I think that's their best win. So their win's not really impressing me right now. So for some reason, the committee loves Wisconsin. I don't know why. But, yeah, I agree with you. I would put Penn State above them as well.
And you know what? The AP doesn't really agree with us either, because Penn State is 8 there. They have both Oklahoma, Washington, and Wisconsin ahead of them as well. So I'm not quite sure what the infatuation is with Wisconsin. I will say this, Antoine, and I want to get your perspective on it, because we talked about this on the show for a whole segment yesterday. Again, and you and I mentioned this last week, if Ohio State wins and Penn State wins, Penn State goes to the Big Ten Championship, and that changes things completely. How does the playoff committee handle that now that Penn State is 7? We know they're 7. We know they're 5. Spots behind Ohio State. If both of those teams won on Saturday, how does the committee handle this?
I guess it also depends on what happens with Washington and Washington State. If Washington were to lose, then of course Wisconsin and Penn State will move up if they both win. So it's going to be interesting to see what would happen to Ohio State, especially considering how the game would go against Michigan. But they always said, the committee's always said, they value conference championships. But they have Ohio State at 2, who might not even play for one. So I'm curious to see would they drop Ohio State, even if no matter what they do, because I have a hard time seeing that. Let's say they beat Michigan by 10 points or so, and that's a good quality Michigan team, obviously, because they're ranked in the top four. How can you drop down, even though I know they're not going to play for the conference championship? So it's definitely going to be an interesting situation. But I think if you put Ohio State in, you kind of have to put in also the Big Ten champion as well. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go.
So say for the sake of the argument, Ohio State and Penn State both win, and Ohio State goes to the postseason. For future reference, the Big 12, Notre Dame, BYU, Independence, teams who don't play for the conference championship, do you use this as a reference point, and is this something that could actually take the playoff committee and shake things up where we get an 8-team playoff in the future?
Yeah, I think so, because it'll be precedent set. Since we had the playoff, every team that's been in the playoff has played for their conference championship or won a conference championship. I know the Big 12 is going to have somewhat of a conference championship next year, depending on how you look at it. The top teams in the Big 12 will play each other for the Big 12 championship again after the regular season is over. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think ultimately, yeah, both Ohio State gets in, especially their two. I'm going to say set a precedent that, and I don't know if the committee necessarily wants that, but probably Ohio State's one of the best teams in the country. Have time keeping them out, because I think everybody thinks they're a top four team, at least at the moment.
Antoine, I'm going to let you rework the playoff system. The way it all works, someone comes to you and they say, all right, we're going to let you either keep it the same or we're going to let you make some modifications. How would you change it?
I would go to 18, but the only problem with that is they like to implement the bowl system. So if you go to 8, then eventually it's going to go to 16, and they're going to just eliminate the bowls in general, which I don't think they want to do. But, yeah, I would have an 18 playoff, and I would have every conference champion. If you win your conference championship, you're in the Power 5 conferences. And then I would have 3 at large, and that can come from any of the Group of 5 schools or any of the big time conferences as well. So that's how I would have it. I think that makes the most logical sense.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming slate of games. Again, joining us right now, we have Antoine Staley, great friend of the show, joins us to talk college football every week. We'll start by talking about the big one, Ohio State and Michigan. It's been a while since this game has had this much weight, this much meaning. I think you got to go back to Chad Henne and Troy Smith, if I remember correctly. That game had some national championship implications on it, if I can remember right.
Yeah, they were both 1-2 in the country. They were both undefeated coming into the game. That was one of the biggest games of all time in that history. So, yeah, it's been a while since we had this kind of Ohio State-Michigan game, but it's going to be an interesting game. Obviously, Michigan is suffering having the injuries. Their backup quarterback is the starter right now after their starting quarterback got injured against Iowa, and Michigan didn't play particularly well last week. You know, you look at a game against Indiana. So I'm curious to see how they're going to come out and play against Ohio State. I'm sure they'll be fired up. I'm sure Ohio State will be fired up as well. They didn't play well against Michigan State either. But yeah, I think you're going to get two. They look like they were two. They look both teams look like they were looking ahead a bit last week. So I expect a pretty good contest. I do like Ohio State to win the game, but I do think it's going to be a close one.
Antoine, I've been talking about JT Barrett for the last couple of weeks. I don't know that this guy has necessarily got enough attention or enough credit in the Heisman race. Didn't look all that great against Michigan State, but he has an opportunity, right, to have a Heisman moment this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. You're playing a top four team in the country in Michigan. You play it on national TV at the noon slot when you know everybody's watching that game, whether it be the posters, the committee, everybody. So if you do that, this is his last opportunity to make possibly to have a Heisman moment, depending on what happens with Penn State and everything. So, yeah, I think he should be getting talked about. You look at Lamar Jackson and what happened to him last week against the Houston Cougars. I mean, I still think Lamar Jackson is the front runner for the Heisman, but it isn't much of a slam. It isn't as much of a slam dunk as it was prior to that game. So, who's to say that JT Barrett goes out and has a great game that he can't, you know, went upset, full of upset, and win the Heisman.
Let's talk about the Iron Bowl here for a moment. Auburn's a team I have just not been very high on throughout this entire season. I think they've been a little bit overrated. Right now, they're the second highest ranked three-loss team in the country, only behind Florida State. As far defensively, as far as Auburn goes in this game, how do you neutralize somebody like Jalen Hurts? Someone that's a true dual-threat freshman quarterback, and he's already set several Alabama single-season records. What are they going to be concerned most about defensively in this game, and do you give them a chance?
Well, what you have to do is force him to be a thrower and force him to be a quarterback instead of using his feet and able to make plays. I thought at the beginning of the year they played Clemson, and they pretty much shut down Deshaun Watson, who I think a lot of people thought he was going to be a front runner for the Heisman. He's had a down year, so to speak, this year. But they did a great job against him and really kept Clemson and the Clemson offense in check. Obviously, Alabama's offense was playing a lot better than Clemson is this year. And not only do you have to deal with a guy like Jalen Hurts, you have to deal with the excellent running game of Alabama. They're great offensive linemen. And also, you got to deal with a receiver like Calvin Ridley, who's one of the best receivers in the country. So they got their hands full. I do like the Auburn defense. I think they can keep it close for at least a little bit. But I expect kind of like what happened in the Texas A&M game. Alabama will pull away late and pull out the double-digit win there.
Big game in your neck of the woods, Florida at Florida State. That's number 14, number 15. How do you see this one playing out?
It's going to be – Florida won an ugly game against LSU last week. I mean, you got a Florida team that plays great defense and has no offense whatsoever. You got a Florida State team that really struggles on defense this year and can put up points. I think it's going to be tough for Florida to win this game because Florida State's obviously going to put up points, and Dalvin Cook has been a pain in their side ever since he got into Tallahassee, and I expect him to have a big game. It's probably his last game there in Tallahassee. It's senior day. I know he's a junior, but he's all, you know, I believe he'll go off into the NFL next year. He's projected to be a top first-round pick and possibly the number one running back taken, so I don't see any way he comes back to Florida State, so I think he kind of wants to go out on a good note. Beat the Gators once again, and yeah, I think Florida State's definitely going to win, probably by a touchdown or so.
As far as the Pac-12 goes, Colorado, they have to beat Utah. If they don't, USC goes to the Pac-12 championship. I've said this on the show this week. I've said it for the last couple of weeks. I don't know that anybody wants to play USC at this particular moment. In fact, if they get to the Pac-12 championship game, if lightning strikes and Utah does beat Colorado, I think USC is going to the Rose Bowl, Antoine. This team is playing lights out right now.
Yeah, I agree. They're one of the best teams, one of the hottest teams in college football. And it's funny to think that, especially considering how much they got just embarrassed on national TV by Alabama in week one, and now here we are talking about USC, one of the best teams, one of the hottest teams in the country. And I agree with you. I think right now, the way they're playing like one of the best teams in the Pac-12. Unfortunately, they dug themselves a hole, so they got to hope for some help. What does help, obviously, you got Utah, you got Colorado. I know Utah had a stinker last week against Oregon, which really surprised me that they did against a really bad, one of the worst Oregon teams we've seen in some time. But, yeah, you never know with rivalry games. You never can predict what's going to happen. I do think Colorado will probably win the game, but it would not completely shock me if Utah were to pull off that upset.
Washington at Washington State, who do you like in that game?
I'm going to go with the Cougars. I really like them at home. Pullman, Washington is really in the middle of nowhere, to be honest with you. A lot of people think it's really close to Seattle. It's actually on the other side of the state. Mike Leach and that offense is going to try to put up a lot of points, and I don't know if the Huskies are going to be able to stop them, to be honest with you. But I expect this will probably be one of the better Apple Cup games. I know Washington State losing to Colorado last week kind of took a little bit of luster off of that, but of course Washington State can still play for the Pac-12 championship if they win, and I think the Cougars are going to pull off the upset and get the win.
Not based off of this year. I mean, historically speaking, it is rivalry week. I know rivalry week in college football is absolutely huge. What's your favorite rivalry?
That's a tough one. I think it had to be Michigan Ohio State. I think that's one of the long-standing rivalries, and usually it's always mean something. So you look at some of the rivalry games that we have. Some of them have kind of been watered down as of recent years because it hasn't been as much. Oklahoma, Texas, they used to be a hot rivalry. Obviously, Texas with their struggles and Charlie Strong looking like he may get let go. That rivalry's kind of gotten watered down a little bit. Florida State, Florida, watered down a little bit. So, yeah, I probably have to say that particular one. That and the Iron Bowl, to me, are probably my favorite two rivalries in college football.
Antoine Staley of the Palm Beach Post, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I thank you very much for taking out the time. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up again with you next week.
All right, Joy, sounds good. Take care.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Back for the final touches, final segment of this edition of Drive Time Sports. 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. That was a fun one today. Love talking to high school sports. Congratulations again to the Emory Sporting Wrestling Team, the Emory Sporting Boys and Girls Basketball Team. They swept yesterday. Boys and Girls Basketball and Wrestling all getting a victory, while the Emory High School Swim Squad finished second. A lot of good stuff happening in the local area as far as the winter sports season goes. A lot of good stuff. Carbon High Wrestling as well, getting the job done. Yeah, the Dinos take to the swimming pool once again. Terrific performance. I mean, it's been fun so far this year for local sports. Remember, you continue to follow it. Get your updates at CastleCountryRadio.com. Tomorrow, it's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to be live at the studio. Best of tomorrow. So if you're out and about, you'll be able to hear the interviews we did with a couple of my favorite national sports guests here recently. Evander Holyfield, the only four-time heavyweight champ in the history of the sport of boxing. He was on the show not that long ago. Great, great interview. And we also talked to Clifford Branch, former Los Angeles / Oakland Raider wide receiver. Talked about his NFL career and if he should be in the Hall of Fame. He believes he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he ever gets in, but he could make the case for it. And we also talked about Calvin Johnson. Should Megatron be in the Hall of Fame? A lot of the young guys say yes. Young kids say yes. Megatron should be in the Hall of Fame. Based on numbers, I don't think he should. I think he's got an incomplete next to his name. He was great while he was playing, but longevity probably works against Calvin Johnson. Two interesting discussions, and that's what we'll play on the best of tomorrow. And then on Black Friday, we'll replay a couple of segments from this week here on the show as well. Some national and local. That's what's coming up for you here on Drive Time Sports. Always great to be along with you. Thank you again for joining me. Please have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful for you. Always taking out the time to join me here on the show. We've been doing Drive Time Sports for over 6 years now. I'm so grateful and thankful for you, the listeners. In 2010, we started the show, 2016. We haven't been canceled yet. That's always a great thing. So I'm definitely thankful for you and to the sponsors that help keep pushing the show. And, of course, the coaches and the guests that take out the time. I mean, it's always great. It's the best part of my day, so thank you very much. Have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. I will catch you back here on Monday live in the studio. Again, a couple of best-ofs coming your way over the next 2 days. Be safe. I am out. Happy Thanksgiving.